Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I am your host, Jason Logan. Welcome to the Wednesday, June 7th edition of the podcast. Game 3 of the NBA Finals looming in Miami tonight. We're going to get a bunch of goodies on that game and the series with the help of our friend John Mettler from Sportsbook Review. Also, too, we're going to bring in our horse racing analyst, Rob Griscola. He's going to talk about the Belmont Stakes going down in New York this Saturday. I've also got some NBA bets that I'm going to sprinkle in there, too. Joining me, as always, is my producer and just a tall drink of water. I'm going to say, Del, you're in Toronto. Are you getting all this smoke and nastiness up in Toronto, man? Because we are smoked out here.
I am. It sucks, but I feel bad for the people on the East Coast there. But yeah, it's not great with what's happening over here. I actually saw just before we went live here a video of New York, and it's all yellow. And at Yankee Stadium, yep. It's crazy what's going on over there as well. So, yeah, I hope everyone's okay, though.
Yeah, there's wildfires all over the country. We talked last week, sent some love to the folks in Halifax. That stuff seems to be getting under control. But north of us here in Quebec and Ontario, some bad fires. And I hope everyone's safe. And there's a bunch raging out in Alberta and BC as well, too. So, geez, like, stay out of the woods. Don't have fires. Yeah. You know, maybe boil those hot dogs instead of barbecue them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Another reminder too, please rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast when you get a second. Give us some feedback. Give us some love. Let us know what you want to hear coming up for football season, which is just around the corner. We appreciate that. And now it's time to talk some hoops. Game 3 of the NBA Finals going down to South Beach, if you couldn't tell by our theme music today. And help us get a grip of all things NBA Finals Game 3, we invite John Mettler from Sportsbook Review back to the Sharp 600. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Maybe a little bit. I could do better with my NBA bets. We're just two games in. As a hoops analyst and a guy who's coached basketball and you love the sport, any surprises so far? And then what are you expecting to see from the Heat and the Nuggets here in Game 3?
Yeah, I was like, before the series started, I was kind of one of those people who put me in the camp. I was looking for a Nuggets sweep, Nuggets in five. Just kind of really felt like the Nuggets were going to steamroll them. But once again, you know, just like how the Heat took out my Milwaukee Bucks futures, they stole one on the road in Denver where nobody's been able to win. So I think the concerning part for me from what I saw from game two is just the body language of the Nuggets. I felt like it was very concerning. Like Michael Malone, like Eric Spoelstra was making all these adjustments, and Michael Malone was kind of more interested in arguing with officials, and so were his players. And I don't know, I just felt like there was moments where, you know, take a timeout, settle them down, let's counter these adjustments. And I just felt like, I think Spoelstra was the MVP of game two, if we're being honest. So the way he attacked Jamal Murray, and I know we were talking about this earlier, Steve Kerr and Draymond Green kind of highlighted that in a podcast of their own. Yeah. So.
Yep. I mean, we entering the series, Spoelstra was the big edge for them. Denver had a lot of built-in advantages, the home court advantage, the thin air advantage, the size. They would always have the best player on the floor. But it very, very tough to quantify the hustle and heart of Miami, just a team that doesn't want to give up and keeps winning those loose ball battles and 50-50 battles and stuff like that. And that's the stuff that wins championships in the end, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like Miami has such an advantage too with their roster construction, where Spoelstra can just kind of play whoever he wants, and there's no ego. I guess that's the Heat culture, right? But there's it's not like, oh, I have to play this guy because he makes $200 million, or I'm going to hurt his ego. It's like, Struss, you're 20 minutes. Doug Robinson, you're 30 tonight, or you know, he can play a bunch of different mismatches for him. So,
yep, and guys that are hungry and want to get in there. Those guys are basically playing for their next contract, a lot of those guys. So spread right now, Denver -2 up to -3 at some sports books. The total, though, is kind of the big story. It sunk from 216 down to 214.5. Any bets or leans when it pertains to the side of the total for game three?
Yeah, no bets for me on the side of the total. I feel like at this point, NBA Finals, you know, especially with these sitting out there for 4 days, they're really bet into place, especially by game day. It's something I looked at it the first day it came out, and I was looking at like the circle lines, and they had been like 2, 2.5, 3, back down to 2.5, back to 3, back to 2.5. So that kind of tells me there's not much of an edge either way. Everyone, you know, half point opinion either side, but it's not like it's steaming one way. Or I think by this point, the spread I think is pretty good. I wouldn't be looking to take a side. In terms of the total, I think I would look at the under. I think I think I would follow that movement a little bit from the 216 down to 14.5. I don't necessarily know the best price available right now. I imagine it might be at 215 or something somewhere, but I don't have to pull it up.
214.5 looks like your biggest total that's out there. Yeah. There's a 214 at Caesars right now, ticking down. It's kind of a weird setup for the Heat because the more efficient, the better they are on offense, the slower this game goes and the easier it is on defense for them. If we saw with Denver in game one, they were able to get a lot of those kind of mismatches in transition off of rebounds and just leaking out and pushing the ball quickly. In game two, they were so good at shooting the basketball that Denver had to start a lot of possessions from the inbounds. It really slowed the pace of the game down. And you have to think with the game swinging to Miami, Miami will play better on its floor, feed off the energy on defense and everything that goes with it. I don't have a bet on the side of the total either, but definitely could see the under. And I do have a lot of props that kind of lean more into a low scoring game script, which we'll get to those in a second. Of course, player props are where, you know, you make your bacon as a sports bettor. We talked a little bit about this beforehand, but you said this has been a frustrating two games for prop markets. Why has it been a little frustrating?
Well, for one, if I would have played all the bets I played in game one and game two, I would have swept the board. So they were not a sweep in game one. They were, I think I went 1-3. So that was for one. But I was actually talking about game three. I was texting another guy here at SBR, Neil Parker, and we were talking about the props. And I was saying, like, Spoelstra is almost like betting on Bill Belichick running backs. Like, you just don't know entirely who he's going to play. So, like, all these projections are running with, like, an assumption of, like, a guy getting a certain amount of minutes. But he always has different adjustments. He's always going to come out with a different game plan. Even though they won game two, you're going to see different stuff tonight from him. He's never going to run it back with the same sets and stuff. So it's just Spoelstra is just a really hard guy to figure out the player props with. He wasn't, like, the Heat weren't necessarily a team I was looking to attack during the regular season either, so. But that's not, they wouldn't have been my, I mean, I'm happy for them, they're here, it's a great story and stuff, but they wouldn't be my player prop pick to play in the NBA Finals.
No, and a very frustrating team during the regular season too, because they came out and kind of made their money playing defense, and in the second half of the season, they were one of the worst defensive teams out there. And started having these high scoring games. And I remember Jimmy Butler, I think I went on an overrun with Jimmy Butler points when he caught fire there. I think it was like January or February or something like that. But he went on that run. And they were kind of a weird team all season long. And now just kind of putting it all together, playing some great offense, shooting the ball much better than they did in the regular season. You've got a process when it comes to picking out player props and attacking kind of inefficiencies in the market. And it's worked well for you. Kind of take us through this process, but do you also add some additional info or data in there to kind of help you along the way? Or are you kind of, this is the way that I'm doing things right now?
Yeah. So during the regular season, I have a very strict cadence to like how I'd follow all the bets I place. I'm mostly, number one priority for me is like looking at a bunch of different projections, seeing where they line up, like cross-reference them with the market, see if I can find an edge that way. Also kind of looking for a rogue price from a sports book, the advantage of using multiple sports books. Not as prevalent during the playoffs, right? There's a lot more attention being paid to all these games, and the props are also sitting out there. You know, during the regular season, they're posted 5, 6 a.m., 8 a.m. on the day of. Now they're sitting out there 3-4 days, so it's a little bit of a different. And then the other would be just kind of looking for movement in the market towards the projections that I have. So I'm kind of, I want the market to show me that the projections I have are good. So, because I mean, you can always have projections that necessarily aren't good and stuff. So, a little, that's one thing I value too high is you don't know for sure if all your projections are like bang on. So when you start to see the market move towards the number that you have for a projection, that's a big deal for me too. But again, like I said, those movements are happening over 4 days now instead of 6 hours. So it's a little different game. Yeah.
And these props now for the NBA Finals, I mean, we're down to just two teams, two rosters, pretty drum tight in terms of projections and then what we're seeing in terms of prop markets, too. I'm seeing less and less difference as we shrink up with teams every round.
Yeah, I think you asked me if there's a difference between if I would stray away a little bit. There is a player tonight, Caleb Martin, but
that's right. Yes, that was going to be my next question. So we talked about Caleb. We talked about Caleb Martin, and there was something that you're taking into account that doesn't fit into your scheme of things, but you're weighing heavily in terms of, walk us through the Caleb Martin stuff.
Yeah, just so the first two games he's been sick. They said he had migraines, chills, and like last game he only played 21 minutes. I think the big thing for me was, even though the minutes were low and he was sick, he missed practice too, was Spoelstra played him to end the game, a game that they were had a chance of, you know, beating Denver on the road. So that kind of shows like how much Spoelstra values Caleb Martin. Even though he was sick, he was still playing. So when I was looking at the projections and the odds today, it was kind of, the projections were hovering around 20 minutes for Martin. So if that's, I think that's kind of the low point. Like an example, so I bet his assists over 1.5 and it's plus 200. The projection is 1.4, so that equals plus 150. But that 1.4 is coming off of 20 minutes played. So even like if it's, he only plays 20 minutes, which I think is low, we're still getting a good price. But I think, you know, I think if you're looking at 25 minutes, so then that changes the price too. But it's just nice to know that I think at its worst, it's still good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a guy that lost his kind of starting spot as they went big, so that's playing into it, but didn't have the same output last game. A lot of it was that sickness, and like you said, just not accounted for. So let's talk Turkey. NBA prop bets for tonight for game three. I know, like you said, these are kind of stale market somewhat because they've been out since late Sunday night, Monday morning type thing, but what do you have on the go? What do you like besides the Caleb Martin stuff?
Yeah, so the one I bet it yesterday was Jimmy Butler over 25.5 points. I would actually, to be honest, if it was right now, I don't know if I'd bet it again based on what like the movement I see in the market. I had the projections were over there 26.9, I believe. And there was I was able to grab it at minus 105 for over 25.5. And at that time, the other books were like minus 130, minus 125. They've all kind of come down. I think before it came on points, but it was 24.5. So that I would bet. I don't know if I'd grab my 25.5 minus 105 right now, because there are plus 100 out there too. We'll wait and see. I don't know. It did steam yesterday towards the over. You know, we've seen buyback today on the under. We'll see how it moves going up to game time. I imagine we might see some more overplay, which would kind of put it back into a spot where I would bet it.
I think you will see that, just because it's, you know, who's betting these games half an hour from tip off? It's the people that, you know, the public guys that want to see Jimmy Butler go off, and they want to see a high scoring game. So,
yeah, I just feel like I think you might see the Nuggets kind of do to Butler what the Heat did to Jokic, where it's like, don't let him pass, you know, make up a score. Yeah. I think their nightmare was, you know, fourth quarter. I think they only brought him in with like 6-7 minutes left, because he sat out. I think you want to make him work early in the game, and that's not passing, that's scoring, right? I think the worst case scenario for the Nuggets last game was, he wasn't really scoring in the first half, and then he was able, I don't know the exact number, but say he put in 8-10 points in the fourth quarter when it mattered. I think you want him exhausted by that point. And also, if you let him score a lot, he'll be tired guarding Murray. So I think there's reason for the Nuggets not to give so much defensive attention to him.
Yeah, and I know Butler heading into that game too was saying he wanted to get going early on both ends of the floor because he found his energy kind of carried the team. And he had another slow start to that first quarter, but he's a clutch guy, and he definitely shows up in the fourth quarter. Any other props that you like tonight that still hold, maybe still worth a take here?
Yeah, there's a couple I'm eyeing. Kyle Lowry over 3.5 assists was one. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope over, like assists, by the way, over 1.5 assists was another one. And Aaron Gordon, I just don't know if I can get there with Aaron Gordon, but the numbers are kind of he is such a nightmare. Sometimes, like, you're looking at zero assists or maybe four, or like the last game, two in the first quarter, none the rest of the way. But
that's right.
The numbers are kind of leaning towards I might jump on it. I'm a little more interested in the Lowry one, to be honest, and the Caldwell Pope. So
yeah, and so much of that depends on how Jokic
probably will.
Yeah, so much of that depends on, too, of what they continue to do with Jokic, and if they continue to let him have free range, or if they do throw doubles at him, and then he's kicking out to Aaron Gordon, and Aaron Gordon's dumping it off to somebody else. But I have the Gordon over a three-pointer, basically, to score a three-point bucket tonight. Yeah, just to make one. Futures, too, and this is something that you love. Those are always shifting. Now we're sitting two games in. Anything worth jumping into now, whether that's the series count or stats leaders? I know you and I both have that Porter Jr. To lead the series in three-pointers, which is the most frustrating wager in the world right now.
Yeah, that's an excellent one. I enjoy every miss that breaks off the rim. It's funny because my analysis of that was, I feel like you won't feel cheated on the amount of attempts he gets, but I don't know if he'll make them. And that was 100% correct. He's got a lot of attempts, but he's not making them. Although the good news for him is I don't think he's shy at all. He's not going to stop shooting them, so that's a good sign for us. In terms of like the series price, I looked at the series price a couple of days ago. It seemed pretty, like maybe like 10 cents off. I thought the Heat were maybe slightly the better side in terms of pricing, but it's so close. All the numbers are so close at this point. Not, I don't necessarily have like a future that stands out, honestly, at the moment for the finals.
I'd called at the start of the series. I said 5 games. Maybe Miami steals one at home. I could see them now going back to Denver tied, Denver winning at home, and then Denver coming back to South Beach and winning. And there's always an incentive for winning on the road in Miami because then you get to hit the bar scene. And I want Jokic photos in the club celebrating. That's all I want. I just
Jokic
want
on a
photos of
horse.
him. I want Jokic on a horse riding through a South Beach club with like bottles of champagne. Just for my soul. Last week we had Taco and Rowett on. You know those guys. And we talked about next year's title odds. Any teams, 2024 futures that you think can get the job done?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because they're in the finals right now, but I think the Miami Heat again, I just they look undervalued right now. At 365, they're plus 2500, and like literally just an hour before coming on here, I was seeing Damian Lillard said that would be his choice if he were to get traded, and CJ McCollum also said he doesn't think Lillard's coming back. So I just feel like the Heat have players. The Heat have always been reluctant to trade Tyler Hero, and I think he's more available than ever. So if you start putting together, picks with Hero, and I don't know what else they can offer from there. They made the NBA Finals without him. So imagine adding Lillard to Adebayo and Butler. I don't know. I think that's they have the best coach too. And I mean, the price is right, plus 2500. So.
It's definitely an attractive place. There's a reason why LeBron and Chris Bosh landed there. Taxes are real low, so you're getting a little more squeeze for your contract as well too. And then of course you're in Miami. Like I said, Eric Spoelstra has a great culture there, culture of winning. They go to the finals, every 3 or 4 years. They're sneaking in there now. So yeah, I could definitely see that happening. All right, that's John Mettler. John, thanks so much, John from SBR. John, where can folks follow you on Twitter? Because it is a must follow on Twitter if you're betting NBA.
At John Mettler on Twitter, you can follow me on. Thanks for having me on the show too.
That's pretty simple. You're welcome, man. Good luck tonight.
Yeah, good luck with your bets.
All right, a few more bets for NBA Game 3. You can get more in-depth analysis and a couple more of my bets. They're over at covers.com. You can check those out there. You can follow me at CoversJLo as well too. Got some WNBA stuff because I love the dub, don't I, Dell? I certainly love it. I did take the under on both Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic here. Murray under 25 and a half now that Jimmy Butler is in his shorts. That's the guy that's guarding him, taking away all that clean air that Murray did enjoy in game one. Miami has really made the decision to take Murray out of it, and his projections for game three all run shorter than 26 points. His 3-point shooting dips on the road as well too. So under Murray, 25 and a half points for me. It is down to 24 and a half at some places. As for Jokic, it went under 29 and a half on this one. This one is down to 28 and a half. Models calling for a much quieter night from the Joker. He went for 41 in game two. Denver needs him to distribute more, and I think get the other starters going. And that's something that that the Heat did a great job of taking away in game two. We saw their starters struggle from the field and struggle shooting the basketball. Given the pace of play, the slimming total, game script calling for a lower scoring total, as well as I see Mike Malone drawing up some plays to get those guys involved early on. I'm gonna go. My number was at 26 and a half on Joker, so definitely. It's an uncomfortable bet to make when the guy just dropped 41, but we're going under. I went under 29 and a half, given my projection, 28 and a half, still good. Went over 3.5 assists from Bam Adebayo. The total still out there, but the over is pricey. Again, these markets have been out since Monday morning. They are definitely have matured a lot. But Bam had 4 and 5 dimes in the first 2 games. We saw the Heat install him as a higher option in the offense, playing basically just above the circle and really working as a facilitator. He's finding guys on backdoor cuts. He was on those dribble handoffs to guys, finding shooters for little short pop-outs as well too. My number just shy of four assists, as a lot of other models are showing more than four for Bam Adebayo. So I'm going over 3.5 assists from Bam. Again, you can find more of my NBA bets, more analysis, and those WNBA bets over at covers.com. 2 minute drill time with Rob Cascola, horse racing analyst for Horse Racing Nation, as well as the good folks at covers.com. We know them. Belmont Stakes, the final jewel of the Triple Crown. Unfortunately, no Triple Crown contender this year. But Rob, who are the favorites to know heading into Saturday's Belmont?
So you have Forte as the 5-2 morning line favorite. And if that name sounds familiar, he was the 5-2 morning line favorite in the Kentucky Derby, who unfortunately scratched out due to injury. Then you have Tappa Trice as the 3-1 second choice. Could drift up. Because you have National Treasure, the Preakness winner, in there at 5-1. He's actually the fourth choice. Angel of Empire, 7-2. He's the third choice on the morning line.
All right, a little longer race here, a little longer test. What should bettors be looking for in the horse when it comes to the Belmont?
First and foremost is definitely pedigree. The sire, Tappet, sires the number one, Tappet Shoes, the number two, Tappet Trice, and he's also the broodmare sire for, I believe, four of the nine runners. So he's a great distance influence. He's already sired four Belmont Stakes winners. Five would give him a record. Bottom line is pedigree really does shine through in a race like this.
Nice. Who's your daddy? I guess that's what we're going to call that one. Any live dogs outside of the favorites that are worth a flyer here for the Belmont?
I'm actually going to outline three because I think this race is ripe for an upset. You have a 7 Hit Show at 10-1. He was last seen running 5th in the Derby. He tired, but he was pretty close to a pace that completely melted down at the end. And I expect him to come running. He's one of those who the broodmare is by Tappet. So I expect him to come running late. You have Brad Cox as a trainer. He won the race in 2021. Jockey Manny Franco won it in 2020. You have Arcangelo post 3. He's 8-1. Last seen winning the Peter Pan here at Belmont Park. Fairly productive local prep. And then you have the one, Tappet Shoes, who I'm going to mention again, who hasn't been past the mile and an eighth yet, but I really think he's going to like the distance, and he's gaining in terms of speed figures, and I think he's going to move up to on Saturday.
All right, so the horn went, but we got to get this. Trifecta for Saturday's race. What do
you All right, got? Very quickly, 7 Hit Show, 3 Arcangelo, 1 Tappet Shoes. That's what I like for a cold trifecta there.
All right. Sounds good. That's Rob Cascola. Thanks so much. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, John. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for listening. If you do get a second, please rate and review the Sharp 600. We love to get that feedback, get that opinion. We will be back next Wednesday, hopefully with some more NBA Finals action. Good luck with your bets.